B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Not at 5 a Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and yeah, I think I had a pretty good outing from the Celtics the last two games, or the first two games of this rebooted season. Even though they didn't win against the Bucks, you're not going to get calls against Giannis. It's just not going to happen. But they played well, and despite blowing a 24-point lead in the second game, I mean, that's what happens in the NBA for everyone who's upset about that, they ended up finishing strong, and I was encouraged by Kemba Walker. There's a lot of things to be encouraged by, and right now, the only part that is kind of concerning is the road that it's going to take to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, because the Celtics are now setting themselves up for what could be really the toughest way to get there, and we have Chris Forsberg, who covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. First of all, Chris, we haven't talked to you since the season started. How are you? What was your impression of what you saw just in these first two games?
So, I mean, my biggest takeaway, I keep saying this, is like, I'm stunned at how good Kemba has looked. And I know we got to see him for that 9 minutes in the scrimmage, and he looked okay, but there was just so much consternation about that knee. And I mean, we must have spent hours on our programming screaming about whether Kemba would be healthy, and the whole idea of like, would he be even able to be the all-star that he was in the playoffs. And I mean, he just has a bounce and an energy that that sort of leaves me encouraged about what his potential is once those minutes sort of become unrestricted and they sort of turn him loose in the playoffs. Now, again, that I have to see how that knee bounces back. But just a super encouraging sign, because I think we all know, like, if the Celtics are going to do anything in these playoffs, like, Tatum and Brown are going to be really, really good. And we saw that at the end of the Blazers game. But they need a healthy Kemba to sort of be another option, to take the pressure off of them at times. And so, to me, like, nothing has been as important in those early games. But Celtics still, all the familiar characteristics of this team. They blow leads, they start slow, Brad Stevens loses challenges, but it's nice to have Celtics basketball back.
I know, it's funny, we were talking about how, you know, Giannis at the end of that first game, that was, I don't know if you agree, but obviously what happened between Smart and him, it's just one of those things where I said this the day after the game, is that Giannis is always going to get those calls, but the good news is that there's nobody else in the East that I can think of who's going to get the superstar treatment. There's like five or six, maybe seven players out West that will get that. And maybe Tatum will get that one day, but he's not there yet. But, I mean, you agree that he's probably the one guy in the East that no matter what, they're just going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, you know, I started thinking. I mean, maybe Embiid on, like, calls around the basket or whatever. I mean, it's just so hard, especially when you're always hacking away at him. Like, he'll get some whistles there. But then my mind immediately goes to the Blazers game, and it's like, well, the refs can't get over and back calls seemingly correct. So like the Celtics might just always be fighting an uphill battle here. It's great that I keep telling the story. I was walking around my town the other day, and I had a car pull over, and it was just like a casual friend, and he just like started screaming about the referees. And it's just that, you know, Celtics fans are convinced the refs are out to get them, and certainly the first two games didn't give them any reason to feel that opposite. I do love that that the Celtics have been petty about it, that Marcus Smart comes right out and blasts the officials and sort of like sends a message, like a $15,000 message about, you know, hopefully that won't happen on the bigger stage, and then Jaylen Brown with his Photoshop. So that was the clear cut sign to me that the NBA is back.
Yeah, of course, because we're all bitching about it. And I'm glad that they won that second game, because that's what it would have been. It would have been just like 2 days of everyone complaining about the refs, especially with that backcourt violation that, I don't know, was or was not. It just doesn't seem like the kind of call you would make, even if there was any kind of question. But, I mean, right now, what Chris, is that you're looking at the road that they have, because it's getting tougher and tougher for them to clinch the second seed. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you're kind of looking at a Sixers-Raptors-Bucks road if things stay the way that they are. Isn't that correct?
It's like you're seeing the words bouncing off my keyboard as I write them this morning. Yeah, like so essentially there's I think it's 92.5% right now chance that you're going to be the third seed. Only a 5% chance of bouncing up. Like, look, the Raptors have looked really good. There's almost no doubt in my mind that they're gonna lock up that two seed. Maybe you know as early as this week. And the Celtics have a chance here tonight to sort of stiff arm the teams behind them and ensure that none of those teams will get up in front of them, especially the Heat. But yeah, I think it as much as we spent sort of the ramp up to the resumption of play, wondering if they could get up to two or if any of those teams could make a surge. It's almost guaranteed that third seed is going to be where they land. And so now we'll spend the next week and a half or 2 weeks kind of looking at how the sixth seed will play out. Right now the Sixers are at something like 62% to land that spot. So I think you just have to start bracing yourself. You know, I think there's a case to be made that the Celtics will have to play the three most talented teams in the Eastern Conference in terms of just like pure overall talent and ability to get to the finals. Meanwhile, like the Raptors and Bucks get first round layups against Orlando and Brooklyn. And so it's certainly not the ideal path for a number three seed, but some of that's negated by, you know, the lack of home court. I think that levels the playing field a little bit in those later rounds. But, you know, if I'm a Celtics fan, that's the big question I keep asking my friends is like, well, who do you want to see? Do you want, like, you see Philadelphia screaming at each other, Shake Milton and Joel Embiid getting into it on the sideline against Indiana? Would you rather face that team that's highly combustible, but then you see them turn around and have a good win last night against the Spurs, albeit against the Spurs that, you know, are not quite the Spurs of the past. But like if Embiid and Simmons and Horford, all these guys get going, like that's a really tough team and they give a lot of problems to the Celtics because of their size and length. I just don't know. Like it's going to be fascinating to watch how that 5-4-5-6 sort of shakes out and who Celtics are maybe try to position themselves for. I mean, Brad Stevens doesn't love the idea of trying to line themselves up, but you know, I would think he would rather see the Indiana team that's a little banged up with Sabonis out with the foot injury. But man, it's a daunting path regardless.
Honestly, Chris, a lot of people have penciled the Celtics into the Eastern Conference Finals, and you guys are just detailing who the Celtics would have to go through just to get to the NBA Finals. Specifically, I want your opinion about Toronto, who I think got 36 from Van Vliet last night and beat the team the Celtics have to play tonight in Miami. But more impressively, their first game back, they blew out the Lakers.
Yeah.
And they're really, really good and are really, really being overlooked.
Yeah, I keep wondering when people are going to – I mean, I know that Lakers win has sort of made people perk up a little bit and take notice, but – you know, all season long, they've been steady. And whether it was, you know, Siakam being really good at the start of the year or, you know, they just have so much pure, like, good veteran talent. Gasol, Ibaka, Kyle Lowry has been unreal. Like, this is not a team that I know everyone sees Kawhi walk away and says, they just don't have the potential to be a championship. And I think, you know, they took that disrespect and have used it as motivation. And I think that is the elimination of home court helps the Celtics immensely because I think having to go up there in a 2-3 matchup would have been extremely difficult. You know, maybe the bubble helps even that out a little bit on a neutral court, but, you know, they still have a ton of talent. And I just feel like once you've been there, you know, you're not overwhelmed by the moment. And I think that's one of the things with the Bucks is like they still have to get over the hump. So say the Celtics saw them in the East Finals. I think there's still something in those guys' minds about like, all right, can we do this? Whereas Toronto, you know, even in the second round, they're not going to be like sitting there shaking. They're just going to be like, you know, they're sort of like everyone's going to expect them to falter because they don't have Kawhi and they can just go out there and play free and be really good. I think that is a tough second round series for a top seed in the East. I feel bad for either of those teams that, you know, that's sort of something you have to run into because one of those teams just is going to be a top exit.
All right. Can the Celtics with Daniel Theis at center match up with either Milwaukee or Toronto over a 7-game series?
Well, it's funny. I thought you were going to go with Philly because
I'm assuming they're going to beat Philadelphia. They're still going to be dysfunctional and beat, and everyone's going to start screaming at each other. Philly's not going to play Al Horford, and they're going to fail miserably. So I'm assuming the Celtics win that series one way or another. But the length of both Toronto and Milwaukee is a problem for a team like the Celtics, who are not that big.
Right, and this is why you need Kemba, right? So that you can have three different options. They can't double-team any of your primary scorers. You know, if Jaylen Brown plays the way he did against the Blazers and wants the ball in the closing moments and plays with a killer instinct, like, I think the Celtics can hang with anyone. And some of that size is obviously going to be an issue. You have to pick your poison in some of these matchups. Like, you know, Giannis is going to get his points, but to me, it's more about can you shut down the supporting cast and not let them have big games. It'll be different when they have Bledsoe and Connaughton back out there. But like the Raptors, it's certainly like their length around the basket, you know, it forces you to make shots. And I think it's going to be this way for pretty much all three series. Like, you know, Kemba really struggled against the size going at the rim against Philadelphia. So if you've got to rely on jumpers, you know, that's tough. They got to be creative. That's where Tatum being able to get to the basket and score will be important and use his size and length. But it comes down to making shots, and you know the Celtics certainly have the talent, but they'll get creative with their defensive schemes. I don't worry too much about Tice. I know they've struggled here with Steven Adams in the early going, and but you know, again, when you have all that perimeter talent, you can find ways to mask it.
All right, finally, Chris Forsberg, better movie, Good Will Hunting or Boogie Nights?
I'll go Boogie Nights.
Yeah, you're from here, dude.
Yeah,
you're smart.
I know, but like. We can't allow like location bias.
Doesn't matter where you live. Boogie Nights is a better movie.
I can't believe you said. Yeah. I can't believe this.
It's right. It's you know, he's blinded by the whole Boston.
Goodwill Hunting. No, hold on. Ask Forsberg the question really want to ask because you know you're going to be wrong.
I know people like Goodwill Hunting, and I know I'm in the minority on this. But to say that Goodwill Hunting is a better movie than Boogie Nights, you know what? Here's all you need. One movie has John C. Reilly, and the other one doesn't. And that's all I need. So Dr. Steve Brule makes any movie better.
He knew, Chris, that you'd say that Good Will Hunting is a good movie. That's why he didn't ask you.
I don't even know about it. I don't want to throw any slander out there. I'm just not a huge, like, Good Will Hunting is not on my must rewatch.
Chris Forsberg, you are a weekly guest from here on out.
Jesus. Is that like a Northeastern thing? Like, what?
Speaking my language.
Forsberg. Right, out.
We've discussed this enough. All right, Chris, thank you very much. Obviously, you're a very smart man. He works for NBC Sports Boston and a member of Mensa. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And by the way, I went down a rabbit hole. We had a discussion on the air yesterday that I just became obsessed with. And I went down a rabbit hole that was just phenomenal. And we will get to it. We opened up this vortex yesterday that I didn't realize I was going to spend about 2 hours in last night. And we will get to that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Up, it's Toucher and Rich. Okay, yesterday I just randomly mentioned something, and our brief discussion of it and some of the calls from our listeners sent me in a direction that just I found myself in a weird place yesterday, and it's something that normally I thought would have kind of disturbed me, but I was elated. I was laughing. So this all started because I the other day I had ordered food. And when the food was delivered, I saw the delivery guy, I could see him through the window as he dropped it off on the front door. And as he was walking away, it looked like he had something in his mouth. And it almost looked like he had loaded some fries in his mouth. Now, I had ordered food with fries, and the bag isn't like sealed shut or anything like that. And so I just immediately thought, all right, did that dude just like rip off some of my fries before he dropped it off and took a little snack for the road. And I opened up the phones yesterday. And by the way, I would like to talk to you. 617-779-0985 if you are someone who is a food delivery person, because I want to find out just how often this happens. And I was convinced that this guy had taken fries out of my bag. Now, I don't think it was a huge deal. It's kind of gross, and I didn't eat the fries that were in there. But, you know, I'm sure that we've all been riding home with a bag of, like, McDonald's fries before, and, like you have this urge. You can't – there's no way all of them last until you get home. The smell is too tempting, and I can totally see that happening with drivers. It's gross. It's disgusting. I get it, but I understand that it probably happens. And then I read this thing that apparently a bunch of these delivery drivers were all quizzed anonymously. And I think it was something crazy, like 28% of all food delivery drivers have admitted to stealing food and eating it on the way to dropping off.
That number seems low to me.
Well, it was like 28% had done it, but over 50% said that they had thought about doing it. So I think the truth kind of lies somewhere between those two numbers. And I'm thinking it's probably somewhere closer to 40%. And this is something I never even thought about until the other day when I saw that guy, like, putting stuff in his mouth. And then that kind of got me going down a rabbit hole. There was a team out in, I think this might be in Los Angeles, that did an iTeam investigation on this, where they had hidden cameras and everything set up. Let's take a listen.
This delivery man is helping himself to your food.
You ate the french fries.
What the what's going on right now?
And so is this one.
You just picked up the food and you grabbed some fries out of the bag.
With food delivery platforms bursting at the seams, we wanted to know what some delivery people were doing with your food before you took a bite.
It's tempting.
Of course, it's only one french fry. Sticking your dirty fingers in no big deal.
This food delivery driver spilled the beans.
It's sort of the dirty, dark secret of the delivery business?
Yeah, it's definitely not a healthy one.
He's heard drivers talk about helping themselves to your food.
Taking sips of soda all the time.
Sips of soda?
Yeah. All right, stop. Okay. The fries are kind of one thing. Well, you're drinking the dude's soda? All right.
Like, yeah, what do you suck the little
part there? Doesn't matter. Either one is bad.
What, are you popping the cover off?
It doesn't matter if you take a sip or use the straw. It's bad. Really bad.
I mean, by the way, it's great because the iTeam investigation has this hidden camera and you see the guy just like leaning over and
taking sips of soda all the time.
Kind of reminds me of a bait car situation. It's like, hey, we're going to go under investigation and see if these guys are eating food. Well, I mean, I guess now it seems maybe 90% of the time they are rich.
All right, let it roll.
Taking sips of soda all the time.
Sips of soda?
Yeah, filling up the soda, sticking a straw in it, drinking it, then putting another top on it.
So we set up hidden cameras in restaurants. We watch this man pick up a delivery order at Fatburger in North Hollywood. Watch as he puts the bag on the front seat and proceeds to eat what looks like french fries. As he backs up, he appears to put another fry into his mouth. Look again in slow motion.
He's still looking over in the back.
We followed as he made two deliveries within minutes.
Here he is. All right.
On the first, watch as he wipes his fingers on his leg, then appears to lick them clean in his mouth. The second.
Oh, no.
They're following this guy around, and he's just licking his fingers, grabbing a bunch of fries, wiping it on his leg, digging back in, and then handing off the bag.
Ugh.
Then appears to lick them clean in his mouth.
Let it roll.
Watch as he wipes his fingers on his leg, then appears to lick them clean in his mouth. The second delivery was the Fatburger order to this house in North Hollywood.
He's eating your food. Wow.
We showed the video to Naomi O'Geal.
Hey, you see him chewing. What's going on right now?
You ate the french fries.
When we confronted the driver at a later date, he didn't have much to say.
What the f***?
You ate the food?
He wasn't the only one. We saw this man pick up a delivery, then come outside and put the order in his car.
He's got a bag of something.
He placed the bag on the passenger seat right here. A minute later, he adjusts the bag and watches as he puts his hand inside and appears to grab some fries before he drives away.
David Goldstein with CBS 2 News.
A few minutes later, he didn't want to talk about it.
You grab fries out of the bag before you deliver it.
You have the wrong plate.
He claims he was eating his own food.
I have food in my car.
And denied eating out of the bag.
We saw you do it, man.
No, I didn't.
We did.
We saw you do it.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Well,
you're wrong.
Okay, well, look at the video and we'll see, okay?
Okay.
And here it is. In fact, during our surveillance, we saw one driver cleaning his car mat while waiting for a delivery.
Is that what you do? Do you eat the food that you're going to deliver?
All right. So I could, you know what? I could watch. Remember To Catch a Predator?
Yeah. I could
watch an entire show where they bust people eating other people's food and just getting the reactions. Ah, I know. I swear I didn't. This guy, by the way, was nailing his like floor mats out of the car. And then he grabs the food and brings it on in. As I said, I wasn't even grossed out. You know me. To me, it was just more like, all right, there's fries there. Dude's going to eat it. Like, almost like if you order fries, you're kind of asking for it. Like, fries are like easy to like pick out and just do it that way.
It's a cost of delivery.
You're picking up. All right, hang on. Let's go to Mike. 617-779-0985. Mike, what's up, man? You're on the show.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, delivery driver here in Boston the last couple of years. And I got to say, it's mighty tempting, right? You smell a lot of great food while you're driving around. But, yeah, only the scumbags take the food, obviously. But it seems like they've come wise, these restaurants, like the good restaurants, the quality restaurants. They understand that they have to seal your bags with adhesive like tape and like it makes it obvious if you've broken in now to people's food. But I just want to say it's quite interesting to see that.
All right, delivery driver confessional 617-779-0985 because part of me just wants to believe that this isn't rampant everywhere, and this is just something that people say that they do, and it's not quite as much. But he's right, Like I was thinking about it yesterday, there's probably certain food that's very easy to rip off. Like one guy was eating chicken wings. I get that. They're sitting there at the
mozzarella sticks.
I know, but think about that. Now the restaurants actually have to seal the bag before they give it to the delivery driver.
Joe Murray, you know this because when you go to like a pot place, when you go to buy wheat at one of these dispensaries, they usually have it in one of those bags that is sealed. Yep. That the only way you can open it is to bust it open, right? Yep, it's almost like a zipper, but there's only one way to open it up to where you know that it's been tampered with. Mm-hmm. That I would think that would be the easy. I love that people say, "Oh, it was stapled." Well, I mean, the dude could have a stapler in the car.
Somebody admitted that yesterday.
Back up. I'm sure you can do that. All right, 617-779-0985. We're not going to get any calls on this.
Yes, we are. Do we have to go through this, or are you reverse jinxing it again?
No, I honestly don't. I don't. This is one of those things where I know we had someone admit it yesterday, which was pretty funny. But I just, to me, I'm fascinated by this.
Listen, if I ordered meatballs and someone ate a meatball off my sandwich, I'm pissed.
Yeah, but
have you busted your driver eating your food? Because everybody now's got those little cameras on the door, and you can totally tell when someone, I'll get to a story when we get back because there was one guy who was like milkshaking it and having a hard time, and like just right in front of like while he was on the doorstep, was drinking a dude's milkshake and just handed it to him. So if you've ever done that side of it too, I'd like to know. 617-779-0985. We'll be right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Like I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich.
Put your dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You can add this to your list of COVID concerns. A 15-piece boneless chicken wing dinner, apparently too tempting for this delivery driver in all of this. It was all caught on camera. His explanation, simple. He was hungry.
And he's walking along the grass. And then my camera happened to pick him up.
There are security cameras all over Richard Jackson's home.
He was clearly caught digging into my food.
The cameras light up. There's even warning signs alerting people to the cameras.
He was digging into the bag, sort of chucking the the boneless wings.
But that apparently didn't stop this delivery guy.
Repeatedly popping them in.
From helping himself to Jackson's dinner.
This is when I see the sauce smeared all over the bag. It's missing several pieces of the chicken.
A man hops out of the passenger side door and almost immediately begins rifling through the bag.
It's concerning that he was so nonchalant, especially during a pandemic.
Jackson confronted the driver on the porch, and after a few moments, Jackson says he got an admission and refused to accept the order.
He eventually admitted to eating my food. He said that, I was hungry.
The Sports Hub Toucher and Rich program. Having some connection problems out on the island with Rich. He will be back with us momentarily. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Will Brinson.
He's probably that storm that everybody's looking forward to there, Johnny.
Oh, very exciting.
Say it with me.
What? What am I supposed to
say? The name of the storm, no?
Isaias, right?
Isaias.
Isaias.
Oh, Isaias? Is that right?
Isaias. Isaiah.
What are you two doing?
I don't like naming storms.
Well, I mean, that's...
Out on storm.
Well, I mean, that's only been happening the last 100 years.
I don't care.
Oh, I see.
We don't need it.
We're changing it?
Hey, there's a storm coming today. Do I need to have a name of the damn storm?
Subject on the table for right now. Will Brinson at 9 o'clock. Subject on the table for right now. Have you seen a guy eat your food that's being delivered to you? Are you a delivery person that has ever eaten somebody's food that you are currently delivering? 617-779-0985. Let's go to line two. Kevin, you're next on the Sports Hub.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
So my wife orders pizza from, you know, usually a different place every time we order so we can try something different. And I always get pepperoni pizza. And we get our pizzas one day, and you can look and see where the pepperonis were peeled off the pizza. So my wife calls, and she's like, there are like 12 pepperonis on a large pizza. The guy's like, what are you talking about? There's like 30. And she brought it back, and the guy's like, yeah, I don't know how to explain that.
Maybe they should take pictures of every pie.
You didn't see it happen, but it was obvious.
Oh, yeah, it was very obvious.
Did you get your money back?
Oh, yeah.
So wait, you got delivery to the house, saw that there weren't enough pepperonis, and then drove back to the place after getting it delivered?
Yeah. Well, it was just weird because, like, you could see, you ever pick a pepperoni off a pizza and the cheese comes up with it?
Oh, it's obvious. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was just so obvious that I'm like, I'm not eating that. My wife's like, well, you can bring it back if you want. I'm like, you're damn right I'm bringing it back.
No.
$20.
I know. And that's what I would have done, too. But that's egregious. If somehow you don't think you're going to get away with that, you're a stupid delivery driver.
Yeah. I mean, my whole thing, though, is
not a Mensa candidate.
If it's getting delivered to me, I don't care. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to know if someone touched it. I'm just going to eat it. It's like the sausage. I don't know how it's made. I don't want to know what's in it. Right. I just eat the damn thing.
Let's go to line three. Frank, you're next on the Sports Hub.
Love the show, Murray and Bird. How we doing?
What's up?
All right, so I'm in the food packaging industry, and one of the biggest things that you're seeing right now is restaurants wanting to get tamper-evident bags. So, like, when you go to the store and you get those things of fresh-cut fruit, and you got to rip that thing off the side to open it, same thing with the bag, because everyone's doing so much to-go business now that, I mean, all it's going to take is one or two jabronis to basically ruin your entire brand, you know? Yeah. Someone goes online, complains about it. I mean, it's a real thing. I can't say that, you know, someone ate my jalapeno poppers, but I'm saying from an industry perspective, a ton of people are buying this stuff now, so it's definitely a problem.
Yeah, I was telling John off the air, every time I get food now, it's always wrapped, meaning everything's wrapped up in, like, you know,
sealed bags, or you have saran wrap and that kind of thing.
So I trust everything that's coming my way.
Let me ask you, Frank, is that going to be the norm once we get back to our new normal?
Yeah, who the hell knows?
Okay. Good. I thought we were leading somewhere and it didn't happen. 617-779-0985. Connection problems with Rich. How are we doing on that?
Yes, we're working on it. We are efforting Rich on getting him reconnected. But my other comment on that, John, was, you know, if you recently they made the law that you could buy a bottle of wine at a restaurant and take it home with you.
Yeah.
And you do. You get a bag that you put it in that when you zip it shut, it becomes almost a tamper-proof. So just in case if you were to get pulled over or something on the way home, you could illustrate or, you know, demonstrate that you were not drinking and driving and that this was to be taken home and then opened. But once the package is open, you can tell it's been opened.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't restaurants want... Maybe it's the expense part of it, you know?
Maybe, but...
Rather staple your food and say... I trust you.
Ultimately, especially with alcohol, I mean, you gotta be very careful.
Of course,
I mean, and that's
be careful thing. With my food then too, please.
That's the new normal. I mean, I would think now, all things considered, with the virus rampant, you have to seal all bags and seal everything.
That brings up another thing. When I go out to eat and I get a to-go bag, do you want to be the one who puts it in the box, or do you trust them to put it in the box?
I want to be the one to put it in the box. I don't trust anybody these days with anything. I mean, I'm not as paranoid as some. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of different reasons to be paranoid because someone in the family is immunocompromised, and that is why Rich is not with us in studio. But ultimately, I mean, I err on the side of over-worrying. So if that's the case, I want to put my food in the box. You?
I like it when they pack it for me. I won't lie.
Nope. No, not
I don't want to do it. I don't want to pick up a plate and put it in and like dump it in there and scrape it all in there.
Given the opportunity, I would like to see my own food transferred into the box.
There are some places that actually like, you know, put it into a box and throw some bread in there for me and say, hey, I put a little couple of sides of dressings in there for you as well. Like a
couple extra mozzarella sticks.
Yeah, like, hey.
Hey, Joey, we see Joey. Hey, put a couple extra mozzarella sticks in there for
it'd be him. Like Norm from Cheers. Everyone knows everyone knows your name. Let's go to line six. Eric, you're next on the Sports Hub.
Hey, guys. I don't know how, just because I like to drive, I guess, but I've delivered everything under the sun. I bet it's closer to 100% people who are touching your food. But the coolest thing that I ever got was a week before the first Patriots Super Bowl in 01, I got a Patriots Super Bowl champions T-shirt.
Okay. And? Oh, okay.
Congratulations.
That's like some inside thing, like I got him type of thing, right? I'm not missing anything.
All I got out of, a week before the Super Bowl, he got a champions.
Yeah, I think that was like some add-on.
Like Joe getting the extra bread in his takeout order.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. 617-779-0985. Have you ever touched food that you've delivered? Have you ever seen anyone touch your food that's been delivered? Is Rich back? Yes, there he is.
Yes.
Welcome back.
By the way, I thank you. I dropped up for a second. First thing I heard when I got back on was, and I got a Patriots T-shirt.
No.
So I don't know what you guys have been talking about.
No. That was a guy who just added that on to the end of the conversation because he thought it would be funny or his friend dared him to. Don't worry about it. Oh, he's out again. Is he out? Is he Rich? You out? He's gone. All right. Well, we'll just continue taking calls. Will Brinson at the top of the hour. Toucher and Rich show on a Friday. John Wallach, Joe Murray, waiting for Rich to reconnect from the lovely island of Nantucket. Let's go to Carmine in Abington, line 7. You're next on the Sports Hub.
Hi. I was supposed to be anonymous, but anyways.
Sorry.
I used to be a driver a while ago, and I mean, I did grab food, but here's the thing. If you think all of the food is making it to the car, then you're blind because the food's getting taken in the kitchen before it gets in there. So the question is, when does it become your food? Is it when it gets to the fryer later? Is it when it gets in the bag? Is it when it leaves the kitchen? Like, at what point would you consider it your food? And that the driver or the cook can't take some.
Well, hold on. I want to go back a little bit. You said that people are taking the food in the kitchen before it gets to the delivery car?
Yeah.
Oh, like they might, put 8 nugets in there instead of 6 or whatever and eat it themselves? You're bringing something to my attention now. I place orders all the time and like, hey, man, where's my like extra sauce? Where's my, my mozzarella sticks? So maybe they're being eaten before they get there, and I claim that I never got them? Is that what basically you're saying?
It's going to depend on the restaurant and whether or not they let the cooks and the drivers have their own food. Sometimes they'll say, yeah, eat whatever you want, or you get like X amount per day, but some don't let you have any. And those are the ones where they're going to be like, all right, well, I'm just going to take a little here, take a little there, as it comes out of the fryer later or that it's just sitting waiting to be packaged up?
In answer to your question, the food is mine the second that it's done.
I feel like the second I ordered it, it's mine.
Yeah. I mean,
here's another thing. You know, you go to a fast food restaurant, obviously you get the 10-piece nuggets and you expect the 10.
Yeah.
Restaurants, their serving portions are different. So, Joe, you know, how do you know you're supposed to get 6 mozzarella sticks and not 7?
Good point.
You know?
It's a good point. All right.
Oh, well, again, if it comes to the house and the order is right, I'm eating it. I don't care if I assume someone touched it, I'm eating it.
All right, let's go to Fred in Middleborough on line 4. You're next on the Sports Hub.
Hey, guys. Coming home from work, I pull up to my house, and there's some dude curbside in front of my house. And I see he's bent over something in the passenger seat. So, of course, I'm like, hey, what's going on, buddy? What are you doing? It's like, oh, I'm a food delivery. I'm here to drop something off. I guess my wife ordered some Italian. I'm like, so you're eating the food? He's like, no, what are you talking about? Dude, you got marinara sauce on your face. He's like, that's from my dinner. I was like, yeah, right, sure.
The IQ of some of these delivery drivers. Now, look, I'm sure I'm not saying all delivery drivers are dumb, but the stories that we're getting here are a little unsettling to me. It's been a while. I think I ordered a pizza like a month into the pandemic, and you know they put it on a box outside your front door, and the delivery driver steps back about 10 or 15 feet and lets you pick things up and all that stuff. I have not ordered anything since, and listening to these stories, I'm not going to order anything for a very long period of time,
You know, it's...
Hey, Rich.
I know. Who knows how long? Because Isaias apparently is having some fun with the connection, or the tales of it. But it's weird. I wasn't even that upset with some of the drivers because I'm thinking to myself, dude, that's gotta suck. You're sitting there, you're probably hungry. It's sitting right there. It's just a couple of fries. And usually me, I'm Mr. Like, germs. Even I kind of felt bad for some of these guys. Like when the I-Team investigation, by the way, showed in slow motion, sinister slow motion, them eating all these fries. And then when they asked the guy, I said, why'd you do it? He goes, I'm hungry. Like, I was kind of like, all right, man. somebody said the ultimate way to do it is, with a tip, like you leave a tip, but then you have a little extra box that you just add an extra thing of fries just for the ride.
Well,
that's
hold
part
on.
Of the tip.
Here's the
20% plus some fries.
Here's the question, Rich, and this is something that was asked of us while you were gone for a couple of minutes. When is it officially your food? When you order it or when it's completed before it leaves the kitchen?
It's your food when you pay for it. Like, I mean, the minute you pay for it, it's your food. I mean, like, you have a right to that food. And by the way, they can't, like, give you half-eaten food. Like, I mean, it's not right for them to do it. I'm just saying that I kind of got it. It was weird. I wasn't even grossed out by the whole thing last night. I just more found it funny that these guys were... Now, there was the one guy, which I didn't play the clip of, but, I mean, everyone's got those little TV monitors on the front of their porch now, and this guy was just drinking out of a dude's shake. All he'd order was one shake, and he's sitting there just drinking it, and the guy opens the door and he hands it to him. Now that's like being I think fries are one thing, drinks off limits.
It's all gross to me, man. I can't. That's just it. This one segment has taken me out of the delivery business for a while.
You know what's weird is whenever there's stories about gross foods, it makes me hungry.
Ew.
Like whenever there's like a salmonella story and there's like some restaurant they say had salmonella, I go, man, that place looks good.
That's
and
true.
I
don't know, you went right back to Chipotle. I'll never forget that after what was the scare they had?
It was over at BC, like players got the squirts, and I was right back at Chipotle.
Oh,
I was like, dude, it made me hungry, and I don't know why, and I know it's gross, and it's against, like, you know, I'm not Mr. Germs guy, but I didn't even feel like, I like kind of felt bad for the drivers, and you know what, the ingenuities, you said, the way these people, you know, were able to manipulate the system, like the one guy yesterday who said, for years we were delivering this 7-wing box to a guy that for years he just thought was a 5-wing box. I was just taking 2 every single time that I delivered the order.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. You kind of almost got to respect the hustle there, the food hustle.
I'm not ordering anything. It's going to be a long time before I order anything.
You live a scared life there, John.
You know what? With good reason, after all these people I've talked to. Hell yes.
617-779-0985. Well, we actually did get more callers than I thought we'd get. And Will Brinson is going to be on with us. We'll talk about the deadline to opt out and what the Patriots are going to do. It looks like they are going to bring in a veteran. And what Will Brinson thinks about that when we get right back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.